distribution is going to come out of us. I think distribution is going to get totally commoditized. You know, if a website in Russia can replace, you know, Warner Brothers' worldwide DVD and video on demand distribution network that's got billions and billions of dollars tied up in its human capital and physical capital, and they can do that with a single website that they can charge $8.99 a month to be on, you know, distribution ain't going to be a high margin business. I think what the internet does tell us is that actually you can, you need to learn how to totally commoditize your distribution and how to create value on either side of that. So how to engage with your customers and provide them services, products, entertainment, whatever it happens to be that they want, that sits around that distribution, because the distribution is going to move on and the cost is going to get lower and lower, and the margin that's going to be available for distribution in that pie is going to keep being under pressure. So, you know, if you were prepared to pay $15 to buy a DVD 5 years ago, you're now prepared to pay $4 to buy a DVD, you know, what are you going to be prepared to pay to subscribe to some kind of video library service? The price goes down all the time. I think, you know, distribution has to be aware of that and get out of that. What's interesting is, you know, what can you make your film for now? How can you present it to an audience? Can you take a film to a different audience? And what are the spin-out products that go around that? And how do you track those? And I think to sort of loop this back to the conversation about open, I think you can only do that when you have an open environment, because if you're really looking for a mass market with a very, very low margin in it, you need to be able to provide one service and hit that mass market, because you know you're only going to make fractions of pennies per person that's in there. And then if you're trying to make small volume, very niche products, you need to know that you can get to that niche within the mass market. And therefore, you can't afford to create 10, 20 different variations of your product or service for those 10,000, 50,000, 100,000 people worldwide that you're trying to address. You need to be able to do both of those things one time only and get the maximum leverage out of both things.
Isn't one lesson from the music business, which is in a bit of trouble at the moment, and as regards open, that, you know, I think Barney, you were quite instrumental when you were at EMI in encouraging that label to be the first major to move away from DRM,
yeah,
which is a kind of closed kind of system architecture. It's about locking down for reasons of copyright. Certainly on a la carte downloads anyway, but you told me earlier that a la carte downloads haven't been that successful. I mean,
No, I didn't say that. Over the air a la carte downloads is
right.
Not a big business, but the a la carte download business has been, you know, enormously successful for the scale that it has, and I mean its growth continues to grow. I mean, you know, if you look at what's happened since 2003 when iTunes launched, we now see an industry with a digital business, which prior to that it didn't have, which has been driven entirely by a la carte downloads.
But when we move into over the air, which is what Omniphone is trying to do, seems that what you're trying to do, Tim, is more of a rental model. DRM is being dropped from some tunes that people can buy to own, but not on the songs that they're essentially renting from people. So isn't it fair to say that in certain parts of the mobile business, we still have these locks, these copyright controls?
Well, I mean, I think this is a broader issue than just mobile. I mean, DRM has got a very bad reputation. There is a much wider issue, which is one of copyright infringement across all digital content, and how that's going to be protected in the future as more and more things go digital. So it's going to go way beyond music, which is, you know, as I said earlier, facing 95% piracy rates at the moment. Imagine that across everything that goes online, and then you're looking at how do you actually still monetize society, which has everything online. You have to create some sort of framework for success and for commercial businesses to thrive. So in order to protect content, DRM is not necessarily a completely bad thing. I think in some circumstances it is necessary, and certainly the music industry and the record labels at this time do not provide all four majors, that is, a one unlimited DRM-free MP3 subscription service, which is completely unlimited. There are services out there that are limited subscription. There are test services such as DATS Music Manage, which do a limited amount of catalogue for 12 months for a high price point when you buy a product out of a box. But effectively, they are trials. The services that are in place today.